Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, if I could have everybody's attention, we'll get going here. I want to thank everybody for coming out. My name's John Mariano. I'm a councilman with the town of Orchard Park. We have a couple panel guests here with a couple more en route. We have Greg Gill from the Orchard Park Fire District. He's a commissioner. And Tom Miner's here from the Orchard Park building inspector's office. So if you have any questions that I or Joe can't personally answer, we'll have these two guys, and then Wayne Beeler from the engineering department will be here. So hopefully we can answer some questions for you. We're going to start off. I'm going to go over the map. And again, if anybody needs a copy, they're on the table over there. And we'll go through the maps of the proposed zoning. And then we'll have a little discussion, and then we'll go into some questions.
First map, please.
Okay, if you want to follow along on your map or just, you know, pay attention and watch me up here, we'll start on this lower map. Okay, this is the stadium area itself. And I'm going to start right here at the town line with Hamburg. Okay, this is where that new Dollar General is on Southwestern. And it's going to go south across the ECC property over to Big Tree Road. And then it's going to come east of Big Tree Road to the creek right by Shadow Lane. Everything on the north side of Big Tree Road will be included in the proposed DR2 zoning. Then the zoning will follow the creek north to almost Southwestern Boulevard. The corner lot will be included in the DR2 zoning on Southwestern Boulevard. One of the reasons we followed the creek is we tried to do the best we could to not break up any properties, individual property owners. So the best route was to follow the creek back instead of coming down California Road with these residentials. So that's one of the reasons we decided to follow the creek back over to Southwestern Boulevard. Once we get to Southwestern Boulevard, we're going to go to the corner of Webster. And then we're going to follow the rear of the properties on Southwestern that back up to the properties on Webster. And then we're going to go back westbound towards Abbott to the vacant lot behind the old KK Food Mart. Once it hits Abbott Road, we'll go south just for a short distance to Sheldon Road. And then we're going to go down Sheldon Road, westbound back to the property line. And everything on the south side of property, Sheldon Road, will be included in the proposed new zoning. Was that clear?
Yeah.
We'll get to those questions in a little bit. I just want to get through the maps first so we don't lose track, okay? We'll explain that in a little bit. Well, I just want to get through all the maps first. Okay, the second property, I'm going to start at Mile Strip Road and the railroad overpass. The proposed zoning will follow the railroad southward to Southwestern Boulevard. Then it will go eastbound on Southwestern Boulevard to the 219. It'll follow the 219 northbound back to Mile Strip Road. And then it'll go westbound back to its original point at the railroad overpass. This property is the property that's across from the Target Plaza. And it will encompass South Benzing Road as well. Okay, next one. The last property is the property on the corner of Southwestern Boulevard and Mile Strip Road. That's approximately 40 to 60 acres. And that's going to start on the edge of the first property, the medical home there. And it's going to go east to Southwestern Boulevard. Then it's going to go north to just around where Raymore Flanagan's is. And then it's going to go back to the west a little bit, then north to the properties that back up to Lake Avenue. And then it's going to jog on the backside of those properties on Lake Avenue, back into Sterling Park, and then back out to Mile Strip Road. Okay, are those three maps clear? Okay, so the DR2 zoning, it's called the Design and Research Zone, and this has been in the works for quite some time, sort of put into high gear when the stadium announcement was made that they were building a new stadium across the street from the current stadium. So we looked at all the vacant properties in town, and we thought that these would be the best fit without interrupting the quaintness of Orchard Park, because these were already commercial areas with the few residentials with mixed in to these commercial areas. The DR2 zone, the biggest, proposals within the zone are, you could go up to a three-story building for mixed use. You could say the first floor for retail or hospitality. Then you could have a mix of office use within that three-story building. That's number one. The second big item would be a hotel up to five floors. And that's within any of these zones. Our last informational meeting, there was some concern about fire safety. And years back, the old theory was the Orchard Park Fire District ladder truck would only go up three floors. So that's what the zoning was placed at. But now with the mutual aid with surrounding towns, and most surrounding towns also have ladder trucks now, we don't see an issue with that, and Orchard Park ladder trucks will go up to five floors, if I'm not mistaken.
It's 100 foot.
Pardon?
It's a 100 foot ladder.
Yeah, it's a 100 foot ladder truck. If you look at the stadium's gonna be about 10, maybe 12 stories with the roof on it. So that'll just give you a little idea of what five floors is like. The roadways on most of these properties are state and or county. The Southwestern and Mile Strip are both the state highways. The stadium area is State Highway, Big Tree Road, State Highway, Southwestern Boulevard, and Abbott Road's a county highway. The only highway or roadway that may be a concern of the town via new roadway in the southwestern and Mile Strip corner, if there's a roadway built within that property. So for infrastructure, everything is pretty much in place. We could make suggestions to the state and the county on what we think might be a good traffic flow pattern. Sometimes they listen, most times they don't. So with that being said, my partner, Councilman Joe Liberti, came in. So we're going to field some questions. And how we're going to do that is I'll walk around with the microphone and just raise your hand. We'll try to give everybody at least one shot at it. And we'll answer your questions, but I'll come around with the microphone and then we'll, you know, we'll go to the next person.
Pardon?
It's all Abbott County,
you
said?
Abbott Road?
Abbott Road.
Yes. Joe?
Oh, good evening, everyone. Thanks, John. You did a great job. Sorry I was late, there was an accident on the 90, but we're happy to field any questions that you may have tonight. I just want to remind everyone, try to be respectful. I'll be respectful as well. So just to kind of give you how this kind of started, this was, we partnered up with the Economic Development Committee and the local chamber in Orchard Park, and we were looking to generate more commercial space for our residents, so we can, you know, be entertained a little bit with restaurants, pubs, boutique shops. We're not looking to put a Walmart in or a Lowe's or a Home Depot or any big box stores. We're looking for local grassroots commercial businesses. So what John was saying, on Abbott Road, it's one block from 28 to 20, and it pushes down to the creek. That doesn't mean that there's going to be, you know, 20 establishments, you know, coming up tomorrow. It's going to be a long journey. This is, I'll call it a marathon, not a sprint. So it's going to take time to get the, one, the comprehensive plan up and running, and it's current. And then two, start getting some local restaurants that want to attract Orchard Park. You want to go around with?
Yeah, I just want to add one thing. If you're home, if you're living in these new proposed zones, and you have a residence there, and you want to put a fence up, a swimming pool, an addition, a pole barn, all those things, you will still apply through the building inspector's office as you would. You're still gonna follow those residential guidelines if you wanna do anything to your homes. Just because it's changed doesn't mean now you can't do anything. Now you have to go under the DR2 zone.
Yeah, that's true. So anybody that's in that zone, you will be grandfathered in. Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
I have a couple questions. I have two maps, and one I got yesterday, which crystallizes things a little bit more than the original one, which I got from the town. I didn't realize the black line was what you were talking about, but there's all these blues, which is the DR2, that project along the residential area on Big Tree Road. Now, I can understand near the stadium being business, but I don't understand why it has to extend a mile down the road to California on the north side of Big Tree Road. Those are a lot of residences there, beautiful houses. I was concerned about mine, which is 150 years old on the other side, but that is also marked in light blue, which is a DR2 zone, although apparently you're not going to consider doing that now, maybe later. So maybe I could have a McDonald's next door.
Well, the beauty of
Dunkin'
this...
Dunkin' Donuts.
No, the beauty of this is we're getting public input. So nothing's really finalized yet. So that doesn't mean that your home or those homes on that strip will be in the DR2 zone, okay? They could still remain the same as it is today. So that is still on the table. Everything's on the table. Nothing's in concrete right now.
And you have to remember that if your neighbor wants to sell and a commercial property wants to buy it and they have a tentative agreement on the property pending approval of a restaurant or what, all that has to go through the planning board, zoning board, and everything still. And they will look at and they will get input from the residents who live there. It wouldn't be just a automatic approval. There would still be the approval process through the building department and the zoning department. And the residents and the neighbors' voices would weigh heavily on the decision of those.
From Abbott to the creek, you said it's not going to be residential. It will go to what?
So Abbott to the creek, it will go to DR2.
Automatic.
No, not automatic.
So that's still up in the air.
We're still, right, okay. We're still taking public input. Yeah. I heard R4.
Question. Let's just say it does get rezoned to the DR2 or DR whatever. And how much of a buffer zone, because my house would be touching the back lot of the new zoning. So is it, can they build right up to my lot? Is it 50 feet, 100 feet?
Right now it's at 60 feet, but that's still in draft mode.
60
feet? If you think 100 feet is, you know, if that's what we need to do, then that's what we need to do. That's why we're talking.
Well, when you take a look on Lake Avenue there, that's coming right up to the patio door of our house. What? And then 60 feet off our patio. That's kind of insane.
It would be off your property line, not from the frontage. So it would take your
rear, the back of the lot, right.
Your back of the lot, right, and then push it back 60 to 100 feet.
Well, we have some input on that for these, maybe the individual zonings where there are residentials butting up to their back lot. So try and get a change from 100 to maybe 150. I mean, there's plenty of land in between, and
that's where the planning board would take all those considerations.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And you have to remember, a lot of these properties right now are zoned where you're speaking of industrial or business. So there's.
We're out.
Right.
The New York Beer Project was a special exception in an industrial zone. Sorry about that. The New York Beer Project was a special exception in an industrial zone. We do allow restaurants to be in that zone only by special exception, so they had the planning board had to look at a lot of facts before they let it there. What I believe happened was the developer himself removed most of those trees prior to it getting to the planning board. And the engineering department and the planning board are going back and and making them reestablish that. And unfortunately, it's going to take a little time, and we're looking to find ways where that doesn't happen again. We're working hard on it. But unfortunately, anybody could go strip their own land prior to a project, and that's where we need a little work in the town, and I'm all for that kind of work, but that's what happened in that instance.
Is that 100 feet for the beer project from the property owners there on Lake Avenue?
The building is quite perfect.
Oh, okay.
Thanks. Hello, I'm Lou Bang. I live on Lake Avenue. It seems to me as though, you know, a lot of this talk is about how close it is to your individual property. If somebody builds a hotel, it could be a couple miles from your house, and there's going to be all these business and everything like that. It's going to affect everybody's value eventually. If you get an industrial developed community similar to what they have in Niagara Falls Boulevard, it's going to affect everybody's property, and it's not going to go up. I think that what I'd like to see is somebody on the board, or at least the people on the board, that are just as concerned with keeping the orchard in Orchard Park. That's why we moved here. We've got automobiles. We can go to these various places that have these little boutiques and the hotels and whatever else. We have a community here, and we should be concerned with protecting what we have. And this idea of getting increased revenue in the community. Well, when you have this developed community, you've got to pay to have everything maintained there too. So it doesn't really amount to that much. Just to wind things up, just how much do we get from the stadium, really? How much does the community get from all the expense of the policing and everything else? I mean, there are all these people that are all stampeded into doing this, really.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I have a question. I want to use it up on what's R1, R2, R3. Could someone put some keys on these maps when they distribute them? Because I don't know what an R2 versus an R3 is. I live in an R2, but my neighbor down the street's in blue. What's blue? I think you have to be an expert to understand your map.
But I have a question.
This is hard to read for a layperson. Okay. Building inspector, can you make the maps a little bigger and use less dark colors when you're going to share them? Sorry, I mean really. Whoever made them, just, you know, dark blue is really hard when you're trying to find your street. As you can see, I had to mark Abbott Shadow, California, because even with my glasses, I can't read it. My question is, you're looking forward, and I respect that. I don't agree with all the things that I've heard tonight. But I'm living in the present, and for 38 years, I have accommodated when I want to go to church on a game day. I can't go down my street, which is 28, and turn onto Abbott and go to my church. I have to go up to the 219, go all the way down to Ridge, because Miles Strip is like a crazy place too, and come back around. And that's okay. I can do that. But when I want to come home at 2:45 and they say the road is closed at 3:30, I'm turned away. I only have one access. I live on 20A between King and Queen. We have one way in because you've got everything blocked. I've written to the sheriff. I think you need to address some of the concerns about what currently happens on game days for access to people who are landlocked. That would be Shadow, most of my neighbors. It's about 102 residences. I may be the only one who complains, but I like to be able to get home if I have to, and I'm concerned if there's an emergency. I know you have to stage everything all around for the same reason, but I should have access to my house, and I should not have to wait for all the Bills fans to go home to do that. So I'd like to find out where I can take that, because it's not specific to the zoning, but it clearly is an issue when I've heard you say you want 100 events a year. I mean, 13 times a year, I'm barely able to be sane.
That's not me calling the shots for 100 events. I'm just giving you the facts.
of what Pagula Industries. We're going to take a look at that, so you don't have one access point. You should have at least two to get in and out of your home.
I'll look at that with the sheriff's department because I'll speak. I'm over here. I'll speak to them personally because I'm sort of shocked that they wouldn't let you down there. We've been around that stadium for many years and we normally let the residents go through. But, okay, next question.
I agree with you, but what I would say is that back in the day when I first moved here, when we lived there at the game days, we had a sign that we could put on our, and it said residents only. And when I came down California Road to 20A, the sheriff saw it and I got priority. So it's a simple fix if they would go back.
Yeah, and again, the bills in Erie County, New York State, had the stadium here. They built the new stadium here and Orchard Park had no say in it. So they make the best plan they could to get people in and get people out. Unfortunately, we get inconvenienced during those games or those days, but we do the best we can. And if we could keep the questions just center point to the rezoning, and we could get a lot more accomplished, but I do appreciate your concern. I'll take care of that. I'll look into it, okay?
Hi, good evening. I'm Darlene Bodhorn. I live on California Road. So a follow-up question for this is that as we have questions and comments about where what's going to become DR2, what are the regulations, if my lot backs up to it, how many feet are going to be before the next building, etc. Could we get some clear guidelines for the planning board and for us to give input? Because when I've dealt with them in the past, we're not allowed to ask questions at the meetings. They had the meeting, and October 2nd's the meeting on this, and they let everybody say yay or nay, but they don't really let you say, how much of a variance are you going to put between my house and the new building? What are you going to do with the traffic? What's going to be approved in there? What's my process for giving input? They don't allow feedback, and I'd like to know how we're going to be able to handle that going forward as we have 150 people here. Thank you.
No. Thank you.
Okay, I asked you before, but I think a little more clarification on this. I live on Abbott Road. I live south of Mile Strip. My property is currently R3 residential, and now all of a sudden they want to change it to B2. Now, further south of me, it's also R3. That's not getting changed at all. It's like a little tiny island there.
Only 6 houses.
Yeah, so this is like my community, my neighborhood. And I cannot understand why this has to be changed.
So are you talking about, okay, so Mile Strip, by Abbott.
Okay, so south of Mile Strip, east side of Abbott. So I'm right on the border of Hamburg. Okay.
Okay.
So we have like six family homes that are being affected by this, and then further south, there's probably another 5 homes.
I just want to see if it's on this map.
Yeah, it's on the map.
It, yeah.
R3 to B2.
R3 to B2, right here?
Yes.
Yeah, so you can see right below it is in our R3 section that's not being affected at all.
Actually, you're not being affected by that.
Well, then why is it up there?
It's not going to your home. It's going right before your lot. So it's just a cleanup. So right now, your home is right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So B2 is going to go, it's going to butt up right up to that lot.
On the documents online, our name is listed as the property owner. Is it being affected by this? Like our name and our five neighbors, our names are listed on that document.
Can you just email me your name and address, and I'll make sure that we'll take a look at this?
Or because you want to give questions it? Would be if it were to go from residential to commercial, does our insurance go up? Does my husband not able to take his enhanced star for being in combat then? Because it's a commercial property and not a residential. I mean, his family's lived there 110 years on that property.
Right.
So it needs electric. And the only reason we found out is a billboard on the corner of our street. We had no idea.
Oh, you didn't get a mailing?
Nothing. And again, his family's lived there 110 years.
Anything is affected? Anything that's, you know, 500 feet around, you should have gotten a mailing from the clerk's office.
We're in the area. Yeah. None of us did.
So that's not for October 2nd. That's for the future, but that's what that would look like. You're right.
But why would that change? I don't understand. Why wouldn't it just stay residential? Why does it got to go to B2?
Well, it's just a cleanup. It's actually the vacant lots that are...
No, our names are listed in the paperwork.
I know, that's a mistake. That's a mistake. It should just be the vacant lots. There's two lots that are vacant that we just need to clean up to be B2.
So the two lots that they knocked the house.
Yeah, right.
Which was my grandfather's and my uncle's.
Right.
Because somebody wants to, you know, make a buck.
His own home family.
Yeah, your home should not be affected.
My taxes aren't going up.
No.
I'm going to keep my combat gun.
Yes.
Where's the refreshments?
The refreshments are in the back.
Okay, right here.
All right, here. Thanks. Right. Thank you.
Joe, thank you for emailing me earlier. I'm Brian Podlesky.
Oh, hi, Brian.
You and I are correspondent. I do have a couple of questions that maybe are part of everybody's question here.
Good. Yeah.
First of all, we were not notified of this meeting. I have been talking to Orchard Park Town Department, John Whitman, OP Planning Board. They point to you for answers, and you're pointing back to them for answers. Which is it?
What answers do you need clarified?
Well, so what is DR1? You guys didn't establish what a DR1 and a DR2 and the other on the very first posting, and you scratched off the meeting dates on all the postings, correct?
That's correct.
Was anybody informed about the meeting today? In mailer?
No.
No, it was all social media.
Do you consider that the same as the 500-foot rule for public hearings?
Well,
public knowledge?
The definition of a public forum and a hearing are two different things.
Sure.
The hearing is more formal. This is more informal. This is where we want to get your input on these zones that are being affected.
Wouldn't this be the more important one to collect everybody together to have that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So why were people not informed?
Great question. Okay. The best that we could do was go through social media because of the timing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Two last questions. So the setback that somebody mentioned earlier from New York Beer Project, that goes right up to their fence line. What is the current setback there? And is that similar to a setback for a future?
So we're not here to talk about the beer project.
Okay. That's fine. Similar scenario that probably wasn't established beforehand. On 17 Pleasant Avenue, which is where I live, we have residential R1s, a B, a C surrounding us. It is blanketly labeled as a B1 to a DR2 without our street being acknowledged.
I didn't think Pleasant was being affected by this.
If you switch to the second map, we are completely blanketed by everything surrounding it.
So, let's see here. So Pleasant's, where's Pleasant?
Pleasant Ave is kind of near the wedge. So it's southwestern mile strip. There's a wedge right there.
So it's...
Yep, right up against Flanagan's. There's a gas station over there and everything else.
Right here?
Yes. This, well, not the B1. Head slightly below that. So what, down mile strip.
Yep, yep.
There's a whole series of residential areas, and they're being blanketed both in the existing map and the new proposed.
So right now, anything that's residential is still on the table. So if we need to maintain it as whatever, so what is it? It would be our, sorry, whatever your current zone is, that would remain if you choose to do that. Yeah, I did get back to you on that because sometimes the GIS and Orchard Park, it could be off a little bit, pending the dates and stuff. So,
I just like to add that we had, this is our second informational meeting. Everybody affected by this proposed change is going to get a mailer for the public hearing on October 2nd. Legally, we have to send out a mailer to everybody's properties that's either affected or touches the proposed zoning. So everybody will get a mailer. These informational meetings, we want to collect as much data and input as we possibly can so we can make an educated decision when the time comes. So our best avenue was to be and social media and a town website for these informational meetings. It's unfortunate that we couldn't reach every household in the proposed zonings, but you know, we try to do the best we can. And that's why we're holding these public information meetings as well. Okay, who's next?
I attended last night's meeting. It was very professional. Everybody did exactly what they were supposed to do. I was very excited. A young lady stood up, asked about points on the agenda, and said there wasn't enough information. By the end of the meeting, there was plenty of information. I was excited about that. I didn't really understand, because I don't live in these blue zones, until I heard him read his treaties last night. And I thought, wow, that's pretty significant. And then I woke up this morning and my neighbor did something, and we will talk about this personally, and I was shocked, thinking, I live in a residential zone. How is this possible? Was he permitted to do this? If not, what is the recourse for this? The beer project's beautiful, but they came in and stripped it, and oh, well, we'll grow trees in 50 years. Awesome. That's not a solution. The fear here, it's not that change is coming. The fear here is what happens when it's genie out of the bottle.
Yeah. So yeah, genie out of the bottle. That's why we have our inspectors to keep everything tight and to code. And yeah, we'll talk after. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, Mary.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. Y'all know I live on Beeler, which is not directly affected. However, if that is rezoned across from Target, and with the amount of traffic, everybody knows Beeler Road is the major cut-through for everywhere, for Quaker Crossing, we are in a sense going to be affected because we're going to get more traffic than we have right now. Right now, you know, I mean, we're getting over 2,000 cars a day that go down our street, okay? And I don't understand the difference between commercial and DR2. And like I said, John, I'm not sure if I got this correct, but I thought you said that maybe there was gonna be a street eventually that would come out onto Lake Avenue? No, that's not correct. Because that's another concern. You know, we're just going to get killed.
So Yeah, the biggest thing that's proposed in this DR2 zone compared to business or commercial. So the other zones, they have everything in there under the sun. They have warehousing, they have manufacturing, they have medical offices, they have audio. The DR2 is very specific to what they can put up and how they can do business. So it's very limited. It's a very targeted area, it's a very specific area, and these are very specific, I would say, businesses that we're gonna welcome to Orchard Park.
What actually can they put on a DR2?
So that's a great question. So DR2, this is what's being proposed. One is a hotel, and we're not sure how high it's gonna go, but right now what's on the table is 5 stories. We're not allowing motels, so it's just a hotel. There is restaurants, pubs, cafes, farmers markets, boutique shops, our theater, a pool room, and I'm gonna miss a couple. We're gonna post these. But anything that's for entertainment, that's what we're looking for in these zones.
And they already proposed, did people have to come forward and say this is what we want to do?
So, yeah, we've had 3 people for a hotel around that Amelia Drive area. So what they're proposing to do is put a shuttle from Amelia to the stadium as part of their services. So, I mean, if they do, they're gonna tuck it back. Like I said, I'm not sure how high it's gonna go. It might be 3 stories, might be 4, could be 5, but that's why we want input.
And for last, about the Pleasant Avenue street, if you look a little bit on the map to the north of Pleasant, or east, northeast, there's a strip of land that comes out from the back of that property that's owned by an investor. So he owns a number of acres back there. He kept that strip of land for a possible roadway down the road. There's no talk about, outside of this interest from the 3 individuals, there has been no other interest for any of these parcels as of this point. So just so you're aware of that. But Pleasant is not in the big picture to be used as a roadway coming out of Sterling. If and when that parcel is ever developed, hopefully it's incorporated between the 2 or 3 owners that have that big piece of property there, and that the roadway comes out on the southwestern, I believe it's on the side of Raymore and Flanagan's, somewhere in that area.
Hi, my name is Mark Lester, and I am sole member of the Yellow Brick LLC and all of its land holdings south of the stadium. I am the largest landowner of vacant parcels, and I noticed that this current proposal excludes the vacant land uses or the properties that I have that currently abut B2 in the intersection near Abbott Road and Route 20A. And I have at least 6 acres undeveloped land, shovel ready. It's currently up for sale. And I am interested in developing the properties and have them incorporated into either the existing adjacent B2 or the new DR2. As of now, there hasn't been anything released exactly on what this DR2 is. You've mentioned a couple of things, but I have been speaking with developers. I have a real estate team, a real estate broker, and we are very interested in developing these parcels. You know, we are holding off on selling it as is until the rezoning is set, but I would like to say that as of now, we're very interested in redrawing these lines. I'd like to be a part of the rezoning. Currently, we are high density R3, and we'd like to become either B2 or part of the new DR2 once we learn a little bit more about it and what is allowed and what is restricted. But as far as what you talked about, hotels and maybe motels or mixed-use buildings, we have people interested now in this type of development. But because this zoning is not settled, we really can't proceed and they're not interested. And I understand that because I've been a planner with the federal government for over a decade, and I've also worked in consulting with developers such as Walmart and other major retail and commercial developments, and typically they will not purchase any land or consider it unless it's properly zoned. So we really need to kind of have a definition of what this DR2 is going to be so we can provide you comments, reasonable and thought out, thoughtful comments on how to proceed. Because if the town board is actually interested in some of these things that you mentioned, we should maybe work together and talk about what's going on. So I will be writing you and all the other town board members a letter probably next week. So go ahead and look for that letter and feel free to reach out to me and we can talk about these things more.
That sounds good. Yeah, and I will respond. So yeah, if anybody has any questions, please send it to my town email. And yeah, just look us up. It's on the town website.
Yeah, and at any point in time, you can go to the zoning board and request a zoning change or variance, and you could start your process into a B2. Your neighbors will be notified, and there'll be a public hearing, just like we're having for October 2nd for this proposal.
Okay, so going back to the DR2 that you're proposing on Amelia Drive, and you had stated to Mr. Meister that his property was not going to be affected by that at this time. What are your projections for Abbott Road? Because I can foresee that this is going to go right up both sides of Abbott, and it is going to change everything along Abbott Road. You have a lot of people on both sides of Abbott, Orchard Park and Hamburg, who will be affected by this, and we would like clarity. Thank you.
You're welcome. So right now, Abbott Road is, I mean, it is what you see down the road. I'm not sure, but we do have a comprehensive plan that we have to take a look at and make sure. We're not sure. It's got to be updated. So it's over 15 years old, and that has. So we're starting that process right now. So we've got to form a committee to take a look at the whole town and what we want the town to look like. So there will be, yeah, so the comprehensive plan, there will be various different types of people on the board. Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Back here?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm from Pleasant Avenue also, and are you concerned about the wildlife with all this building and stuff? Because I'll tell you what, years ago when they built Sterling Park, that was all marked wetlands. All of a sudden, they got the bill. Behind us now, between us and Flanagan's, it's marked wetlands. Now somebody was talking about maybe a road going through there. How can they change wetlands at will?
Yeah, you can't change a wetland. You have to build a 100-year plan to mitigate.
Sterling was all wetlands back there.
But they have to mitigate the water. So they'll come up with a 100-year plan on how to make it safe for that area.
Yeah, but now you see all these deer dead on Southwest, and you've got no place to go.
Just to build on what that gentleman said, the wetlands, I had an occasion to call the DEC a few years ago to see what was allowed. No building. No clear cutting, no structures of any kind. Where's that water going to go? With parking lots, hotels, maybe, roads, Where's the water going to go? They're currently empty into Smokes Creek.
That is a great question. That's why we have really strong engineers that work for the town.
You're talking again, yes. When you talked about the traffic, first of all, and you said that's a different story, but there's a section on Abbott and between 20 and 28. There's homes in that area, Oakwood, Pilger, Place in the background, and stuff like that. Okay, there's the properties that are, you own a piece of property that they took some houses down to park cars, but once they took the houses down, they couldn't park. But that also goes from Big Tree 28 to Oakwood Avenue. So, I mean, if they change the zoning, they could use that as an out. Now, the road is closed between that area during the games. You can't get, if there's an emergency and your house sets fire, forget it, it's gone. So, I mean, there is a factor that they have to think about, that section of that neighborhood down there, where if there is problems, can they get emergency vehicles down there? And there's going to be a game Monday night, and I guarantee you, with all the satellite parking that goes on in that neighborhood, you will see traffic till midnight trying to get out. Sometimes they're coming down Pilger Place up Oakwood, two cars, sets of cars. So, I mean, there's used to be policemen would come down from Orchard Park, and they'd be always riding through the neighborhood and different stuff like this. There is none of that. I mean, there's stuff that is being destroyed, homes that I heard got broke into one time. I mean, it's getting to be a problem in that little area. And unfortunately, I live in that area. So, I mean, my husband's a cancer patient. If I have to get an ambulance to get there, forget it. It'll never happen. Now, there should be some kind of a something that they can't just have all that traffic like that. For, I mean, hours, 5-6 hours, you couldn't get out of your house if you tried, or a car down. So that's something I think the town should look at.
Well, unfortunately, you know, the stadium was placed where it's placed without any input from the town of Orchard Park. So we do the best we can, and the Erie County Sheriffs do traffic, game day traffic. Orchard Park police officers handle the calls outside there, and right, I remember. Well, I know those side streets are patrolled during the game for any illegal parking that may not let an emergency vehicle pass through there. That's wide enough. I will relay that to the police chief. I was on the police department for 25 years, and we did that quite regularly. We used to tow between 10 and 100 cars a game. So I know that was done, but again, that's we're getting a little off track here with the stadium traffic. We want to concentrate, you know, our time here on the rezoning.
But that's what I'm saying. If they rezone it, they can have businesses back there too. What does that mean for that street, that neighborhood?
You're talking about Pilgerville? Again, if someone wants to sell their property that's in Pilgerville to a developer, it would have to go through the planning board, the zoning board, a public hearing. And if all their neighbors don't want that business in Pilgerville, it's not going to happen. We just didn't want to zigzag through every neighborhood, through every property. We tried to make it as simple as we could. And unfortunately, some of those neighborhoods are included, but it's very highly unlikely that you would ever see a commercial business in Pilgerville, on Pennhurst, at Saybrook, at Greenfield.
There's been no request for Pilgerville.
Pardon?
There's been no request for Pilgerville to develop.
None. No. The only request is across from Target. That's the only request right now that I'm aware of.
And if they make it commercial,
If they make your...
If they zone it commercial or residential, then
your taxes do not go up.
No, and you have to remember, these vacant properties like the one on Southwestern and Miles Strip, like I said earlier, it's between 40 and 60 acres of vacant land. So the town looks at that. The tax rate for a vacant piece of property is minimal. So if someone wants to put up a development or commercial building in there for $2-5 million, that increases our tax base. We want to try to get a solid tax base so going forward down the road, it don't affect you and I who live in Orchard Park where we have to raise our taxes. Just a side note for Southwestern and Miles Strip, one of the dealerships has been chopping at the bit for that property. And we really don't want another dealership on that corner. So we're trying to hold them off, the owners of that property, as long as we can to see what other interest that we could get in there. Because if it's not a combined boutique, office building, something of that sort, or even another industrial building that goes in there, you're gonna see another one or two car lots on that parcel. Yeah, the current stadium is going to be knocked down. For right now, it's going to be for parking. That's correct, and there's nothing the town can do there, unless they want to deed off some of that land to the town, and we can do something constructive with it. But unfortunately, the county owns it, so that's their decision. And right now they need the parking, as we all know. So that's going to be knocked down. The field house is staying and the operations building staying. Everything else is going to go.
Does anybody else have any questions about the DR2 zone?
No.
Oh. Question of clarification. So I understand that if we have specific questions, for instance, my comments to be directed to someone to ask why you would not stop at Southwestern and you're going to Sheldon where there's an elementary school. Where do we take our comments from this point forward?
So the comments, you could email any of the councilmen on the board or the supervisor, and we will get back to you. Okay? Yeah.
Hi, I live on Sheldon Road, and I'm looking at two maps here. When the original map came out, the DR2 zone went to the back of my property line, and now magically, it's my whole half of the street, and I'm now solidly in the DR2 zone. What prompted that extension?
So the original plan was to have the DR2 go from the creek past, it's gonna go past Abbott Road. So it's gonna butt up to the edge of the line where Hamburg runs. So I'm not sure where you got that original map. That was incorrect.
That's on the wrong side of the street.
Sorry. Say it again.
It's side by side on your map. The original map that I saw back in July.
Yeah. Yeah, so there was a petition on Sheldon Road and they wanted to be in the DR2 zone. So originally it was out. It was not part of the DR2. Thank you, Tom, for reminding me.
I think we'll have a couple more questions. I have one back here. Okay.
Responsible by the state and Erie County, Sheldon Road wasn't included in that list that you went off?
I
think you put that
together. I did. The town still. There's no DR2 zoning on Sheldon. It's on the south side of Shell. But again, if someone wants to sell their property to a commercial business, there'll be a public hearing. And if the neighbors do not want that, it's highly unlikely that that will go in. But we had to make the lines sort of the way we did them to make, just for clarity. Correct.
Just wondering, the last meeting you went to, we were talking about how you had talked about moving the stadium from the old site, or making the old site stadium into a soccer field, and now we're talking about apartments. When did this change occur since the last meeting? Oh, a parking lot. Okay, so in other words, the stadium is going to be knocked over and there is not going to be a soccer field, as they said before?
Well, I think John said that they're going to knock it down, right?
They're going to knock the old stadium down.
Yeah.
The field house is staying, and right now the operations building in the back is staying. The rest will be for parking. Now, whatever Erie County and the Pagoulas decide down the road, we have no say in that. But for right now, it's all going to be used for parking because they took so much with the new stadium. That field house will be for the Bills. One more back here, Joe.
Yeah.
I am on 20A, and my house will be greatly affected if you come all the way down to the creek. So with all the green space available in Orchard Park, I don't understand why we have to have, we already have the industrial park, we have Fox Run. Since I bought my house over 30 years ago, there has been so much development in that area already. We deal with the stadium, there's an apartment complex already built behind my house. I mean, how much more can we have on Big Tree? I mean, we're a residential area, we're a community, but now we're an offshoot of the stadium. Nothing is concerned about us living there, what we deal with the traffic every day, not only on game day. I can't get out of my yard when the industrial park lets out for lunch hour or at the end of the day. I have to wait there patiently. Sometimes I have to turn the other way, go up to the corner and turn around just to get where I'm going. We already have so much traffic on 20A. I can't imagine if you build any more commercial at the end of the street from the creek down to the end of the street. I mean, it's our neighborhood. We are not the surround of the stadium, and that's how we seem to be viewed. And it's just not fair to the people who live there. We've been there. We've developed our homes. We've maintained our homes for over 30 years. And now, if you put something commercial right after Shadow Lane, my property value is in the toilet. So I mean, I really hope that you take a look at the residential areas that you have in these maps. There's plenty of green space. Orchard Park is loaded with it. I mean, as far as restaurants and whatever, there's already 31 restaurants within 3 miles of the stadium. How many more do we need? There's 10 Tim Hortons within 3 miles of the stadium. How much more do we need in that area? You know, there's other places.
Well, I really appreciate those comments. We will take a hard look at the residential area, so...
And again, those residential areas, they have to go through a process with the public hearing, and if there's a lot of opposition, it's going to remain the same. Next. I do.
Hi, John Perovich. Just real quick, I spoke to the Chamber of Commerce and also Legislator Mills about this subject. One of the most interesting things that they raised was the possibility of an eminent domain taking in and around the stadium by the state. And I think that's something that local property owners should be aware of. The state's spending $850 million, and they're gonna own the stadium. So, you know, like, I think, it was a great point earlier that Orchard Park, the town of Orchard Park, the people standing before you today, don't have a whole lot of say in that. They do have to absorb the cost. We have to absorb the cost as taxpayers, but that's going to be the state's and the Bill's decision as to the number of events that go on in the stadium. And if, you know, Orchard Park doesn't capture the development money that's going to come from the stadium, the state's going to want to recoup that $850 million that they're spending, unfortunately. And that either can be support Orchard Park's tax base, or the state's going to take that land, a lot of land around the stadium. I don't mean to be alarmist, but they're going to take it via eminent domain. I looked at some of the stats, and even in New York State took 22 acres by via eminent domain, and good luck trying to fight that process. The success rates are like 7 to 8% that aren't dismissed out of hand. So I completely understand the concerns with traffic flow. I think all towns do a very bad job of describing their zoning code and what's in the particular zoning and the map. I love maps, but that's still a hard map to read, so I completely understand. But you know, I'd rather have the town of Orchard Park be in control of the zoning, recoup some of that development and tax money here to stay in town to support some of the local police and fire and emergency services. So, to sum up and ask an actual question, I was just wondering if the town has, considered the possibility of eminent domain down the road and has begun planning for it as a possibility.
Wow, that's a great question. That has not been on the table, as far as I know, from an eminent domain perspective. But you're right, the state is going to look for to recoup their dollars. You know, that's a lot of money to be putting on the table. So $850 million. The acreage around the stadium is about 600 acres, so it's a big parcel. But there's not a lot of roads that get in there, so it is landlocked, pretty heavy. So the primary area that's going to be, I think that's going to be affected is Abbott Road. I think that's where we're going to see it.
So why throw eminent domain out to all these people here and put that out there like that? That's the scare tactic that you're doing to them.
I didn't say eminent domain.
I know you didn't say it, but he said it. And he's part of the whole real estate thing that's been all over town. Why are you scared?
We haven't lost half our pot launch for the last 8 years. Yes,
yeah, at this point, there's no talk, no rumor, no anything about any eminent domain. So unless the state springs something on us, I think they have plenty of room over there.
They got a lot of room. That
they don't need any eminent domain. I could probably say it with certainty. The town of Orchard Park is not looking to eminent domain anyone's property moving forward.
Just Mary's. Any other questions?
I'm going to take one more question back here. And before we wrap it up, I just want to thank Joe and Diane DeMarco for letting us use this great facility this evening. And, they run Wings Flights of Hope and Wings Meeting Place here. So if we give Joe and Diane DeMarco a round of applause. And... So if we don't have any more, this will be our last question.
Okay.
And then we're going to hang around, so if anybody else has,
wants
to talk to us, we'll be here.
Yep.
Hi, I was hoping that we might hear maybe more of a developed argument of why the giant swaths of land, if we hear from officer here that the process would effectively still be up to, a great vote from us if somebody wants to develop something, a particular parcel in some way. So effectively, what changes? What is the great difference between, as you said, doing it zigzagged versus these giant swaths? As our neighbor David brought up in the meeting yesterday, normally this would be organic, and these are enormous swaths that you want to just change in the zoning. So what is the argument for the giant swaths all at once? You used the language yesterday, push this through. So what do you want to push through? What is the interest in expediting this?
I'm not looking to expedite it. That's why we're having these public inputs. So nothing is in concrete. Everything is still up for debate.
Okay, can you answer what is the interest then if effectively the answer is we would still have to all, go, what is the change then that would happen? What's the great benefit in changing the zoning, all this giant land of zoning, from doing it organically?
Yeah, so the biggest change here, especially around the stadium, is for economic development. So today, the parcel is zoned primarily
there's three zones in there, and they're primarily residential where the stadium is. So if I wanted to put up a house right next to the stadium, I could do that. But if I want to put up like a local restaurant or have a farmer's market, I can do that under the DR2 zone. So right now we're really looking for more commercial space around this area and less residential. That's not what I'm saying.
That's what you just said.
So the part that is zone DR2, it's not gonna affect your home. The strip that's gonna be really affected is on the sidelines. So the bordering on 20A, 20, Amelia Drive, and then Southwestern and Mile Strip that butts up to Sterling. So it's one block on Abbott Road. You're right. It's one. So Abbott from 20 to 20A, that's where it's going to stop.
But there's 35 houses in the 25 houses in the house.
Right.
But
it does not affect the residents.
Oh, how is that going to? We live there. You're going to bring in all these businesses, and what, the property value is going to go down to all our homes. And you think we want to be involved here, be near hotels and businesses, but that doesn't affect us. We've been living there and paying taxes for how long, but it doesn't affect us.
Thank you. Anybody else? All right, we want to thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Just remember that the public hearing will be October 2nd at the town hall. And have a good evening. And Joe and I will still be here.
Have a good evening.
If you have any questions.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.